Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's got to be done. And I'm going to do it. Super Bowl!
The circus is here.
I think we might have one. Then fine, call me the ringmaster, because I'm excited. I'm so excited. I can't believe he did what he did. I thought
Carmen and Bailey were here, the circus.
I was hoping it was going to be okay. I had no idea it was going to be that good. I am busting. I am so excited. I have no idea how this season is going to turn out. But damn it, what an exciting moment. What a night. I hope you all enjoyed it and nearly as much as I did. I was watching this thing and go, it's getting better. Oh my God, it's getting better. And it kept getting better. And then it came out in the third quarter. It's like, ah, okay, there's your typical Browns law. And then they took advantage of turnovers and it got better. What a night. What a night. I'm over the moon. Over the moon.
Part of me, I always come in and I'm like, you know what? I got to come in and always be a little more measured than Ken. I always try to look at these things from the 30,000 foot perspective because I always say Ken is over emotional on these things. Ken likes to go crazy on these things. And if I were in any other market in the country, what would I be saying about the freak out? And yet I felt like you on Friday night. I was doing the freak out.
Go crazy,
I was
folks.
Enjoying the hell out of it. Part of it is I took my own advice. I had zero expectations. I came in and I expected him to look rough. I expected him to, with the very little reps that he had, I expected him to throw up all over himself on a number of occasions. And, well, look, we did see it on the one play. The one play, fourth and one, he ran straight backwards. It's like, oh, God, that's right. You can't do the high school stuff here. That might work on a select Saturday night in Boulder. That's not going to work in the NFL, even if it's the preseason.
Fair.
And you know what? He overcame it. And you know what? The floodgates open. I have to say, it was believe it or not, a Browns player named Watson that made the difference. It was Nathaniel Watson. Nathaniel Watson recovered that muffed fumble or that muffed punt return. And
how long you been sitting on that one?
After that, it changed.
You know he took his notebook out as soon as it happened.
Oh, my God.
His Naked Gun notebook, and he wrote it down.
I did. I had the little Naked Gun notebook. They gave us free, little promotional, a promotional element. I pulled it out, and Kenny, because what did it do? It got the offense, which sputtered there, got the offense back on the field, and then he got to get in something they probably practiced more than anything else, which was the red zone offense. Red zone offense is something that these teams work on. And I do wonder, had they not have had that short field in that red zone situation, kind of a make good scenario for Shador Sanders, what would have happened? What would it have? Could it have spiraled the other way? Could he have had no confidence? I don't know. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Guys, his dad was prime time.
Yes, he was.
His dad was prime time. You just knew there was going to be, at least at some point this preseason, we were going to get some of it, and we got it on Friday night. So to that, it was awesome.
216-474-0092. Do we have a quarterback? Do you think we have a quarterback? Is it too early to ask that question?
We have six of them.
Is it too early
right
for
now.
Me to ask that question?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't care. I really don't.
Probably is. But what a great just opportunity to build on something. I didn't know that we'd have anything to build on. But I felt that way on Friday night. I'm like, at least we got this city and a lot of people around the country talking about somebody doing something fun.
I really am. I just cannot believe it went as well as it did. I had to pinch myself. You had other guys who had their first reps around the league. They were not so good. Tyler Shook had a couple of moments, but there was a lot of a mixed bag there. I think, you know, from the pregame on, I think there were a lot of people who wanted to, they wanted a reason to rip. They wanted a reason to not be happy. I'm not even talking about Browns fans. When he walked into the stadium and he's got an entourage with him. He's got Tony Brown with him. Tony Brown plays for the Browns. he can't handle it. He can't help it. Tony Brown decides to bring his own boombox.
Can a player be a part of the entourage?
I mean, hell, I mean, more than likely, right? But damn, I am fighting the urge to not say, or I'm fighting the urge to start saying things that I might just have to take back because it's still so sudden, it's still so soon, and I want to be pragmatic about it. I also want to go, you know, the season, the win, the over-under, and I got so annoyed by this on Saturday morning. The amount of people who wanted to jump in on the internet and go, you know, this is why the Browns fans are the Browns. So I was like, well, so you just wanted to be nasty no matter what. That's what that was going to be. You were just going to be negative no matter what about it. If Shador Sanders went out there and sucked up the room, it was going to be same old sorry-ass Browns, same old you guys can't make the right decision, you guys can't do anything. Then he goes out and he played, well, you guys have to understand it's preseason. Guys, the over-under was at 5.5. So I think a lot of Browns fans
have included the preseason.
I think a lot of Browns fans know probably what this season is going to entail. They have no depth with anybody outside of their starters that you can really count on whatsoever. And maybe we'll find some gold in these their hills, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it. So I also want to take the moment to celebrate moments that need to be celebrated. And Friday night was a moment that needed to be celebrated. I don't know how the rest of the year is going to turn out. I don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, hand to God, I have no idea. But you did get reasons to see why there was talk about him going in the first round, why there was talk about him being one of the better quarterbacks in this class. You did get reasons to see it. I'm sure there's things that he thinks he needs to work on, that they think he needs to work on, and we'll see how this goes because we're just starting to walk through the woods now with this organization and Shador Sanders. We are not out of the woods yet. I have no idea what's going to happen here over the coming weeks. Yet Joe Thomas during the broadcast going, you know, if Kenny Pickett's out for the next few weeks, or if he's going to be hurting for more than what we think, or Dylan Gabriel's going to be hurting more than we think, you know, there's real opportunity here for him to shoot right up the board. And I think a lot of folks are going, man, this guy excites me. He excites me way more. I mean, I had a guy, I'm not lying to you, Tone. I told Tone this right before the beginning of the show. I had a guy stop me in my tracks. We're talking about a man in his 60s. And he...
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Couldn't believe Saturday morning, hand to God, I'm at Streetsboro Middle School. Jonah wore the flags. I wouldn't say he was a player, but he was in his flag football game. And I'm walking, going up to the press box. Guy stops me dead in my tracks, and he is excited. I think he felt, he said he felt that he didn't think it was going to be nearly as good as it was. And then the questions started to hit of, all right, what do you do with Dylan Gabriel now? Does anybody want to see? Can you trade any one of those other guys?
Trade or cut?
Can we streamline
any other guys?
The Joe Flacco conversation, which I'm sorry if it, it's way too early to have this conversation because I'm in no hurry to actually start him in the season. But I mean, good God, if he has another good outing against Philadelphia or something like that, then that drumbeat's going to hit. Going, why waste time?
Oh, imagine if
Imagine
if he had, and I don't even know how many reps he's going to get in the joint practice situation, right? Because this week is supposed to be about getting the starter ready, and it was supposed to be a Kenny Pickett week. Joe Thomas said on the broadcast that it was looking like we still could be a week, 2 weeks away from that, and their plans might have to change again because it was going to be Flacco 1 week, Pickett another week. But if Pickett can't go, what does that do to his candidacy to have any opportunity?
Yeah,
because there have been people that believe the whole time it was slated for Kenny Pickett to win this starting job, even though he's the guy we've talked about maybe the least of all the quarterbacks.
Well, I think he's the guy that you find the least amount of excitement about. You know, Joe has the history.
Daryl Ryder will raise you Dylan Gabriel.
Well, yeah, but still, and hey, we'll have Daryl on at 8:20. I'll ask him about it a little bit. Like, Dylan Gabriel's still a rookie. They still say process as well. I don't know. It's not a Dylan Gabriel show today, obviously.
I hope it's not a Dylan Gabriel show any day.
Joe's a throwback to some good times, and then you have this kid who... I think clearly surprised a lot of people. I think there were some people, certainly in another city, one guy we knew who was ready to sit back and just enjoy the avalanche of terrible football that he thought he was going to see. Mm-hmm. And I think he was shocked with every single pass. And he was letting those emotions out on the internet. I think we know who we're talking about. I'm sure he'll be on during Around the AFC North later on this week.
Well, it's an easy thing. So this is what's so great about this. It's an easy thing to get carried away either way. Like, obviously, I've come on the air and told everybody that, guys, it's the preseason. When Jake Delhomme comes out and orchestrates an 11-play drive in his first preseason game with the Browns, like, and people were going nuts, or the Baker Mayfield first preseason game, and it's like, guys, this is not real football. Like, I've done that. I've done that. So that's an easy, that's a textbook. There's a blueprint for that to just go in and crap on anybody that has a good preseason game.
Yeah.
And it's also the other way. Like, it's easy to bet against a fifth-round pick ever being good in the NFL and starting, especially for the Browns. That's one of the easiest things to ever do. Because I think I've done that for a lot of players.
Yeah.
It's so hard, and I've told people it's going to be so hard for him with next year's draft class and quarterbacks and the two picks in the first round. It's going to be so hard for Shador to go from four-string quarterback to making his way up the depth chart to playing well enough this season, earning the starting job and playing well enough to where it would convince the Browns regime or whoever's here to not take a quarterback in the first round next year. But I'll say this. Man, if ever there was a great enough first step to do that, to accomplish any of what I just said,
yeah,
that was the first step on Friday night.
It was. It's hard to find the words, guys. It's really hard to find the words of how excited I was. Just sitting there on the couch, Liz goes, well, just watch it upstairs. I go, I just want to go to my office. I got to write my, you take my notes and everything. She goes, just come on, watch it upstairs. And just seeing it one after another. And, like, he threw the first touchdown pass, and Liz's like, oh, that's nice. That's the son of that guy you like. Like, it was this bizarre experience for myself, and I think for a lot of fans, where we didn't know what to do with ourselves. He was playing so well. 216-474-0092. Does this change anything for the competition for you? Does this change anything for the competition for you? Because I'm willing to put him number two on my depth chart. I don't care. I'll just put it there right now. And if you think that that's overzealous or whatever, fine. But I see a team. Like, can I back it up for a second?
Because
I'm an excitable guy and I'll just do things with emotion without backing it up. I don't want to do that. Again, I don't have a lot of faith in Kenny Pickett. I don't have a lot. I mean, Daryl has said everything possible against Dylan Gabriel. So I certainly don't have a lot of faith in Dylan Gabriel. And it's like, all right, let's let the veteran start the season, the 40-year-old guy start the year, and then eventually we'll get to it where, hey, my ceiling, my over-under's 5.5, so my ceiling can't be that high. So maybe I find something with this young man. So I'm willing to put him number two. Because I tell you what, I know I got worked into a shoot last week, and I apologized on Friday about it.
How so?
Because I questioned Kevin Stefanski. But clearly he's being taken care of. I mean, you can't just say, well, Shador just went out there despite Kevin Stefanski in the offense. Clearly, there was a shared responsibility there. Do you believe that, too? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if it were shared, then, hey, Kevin's in my good graces. Kevin should be in a lot of people's good graces. I'm sure there's other coaching that's involved there. The coaching staff can be in the good graces. This is base defense that he's facing. I understand that. So I'm just like, well, why do we bother with the other ones? I'll put him at number two. Joe's number one. Shador's number two. I don't think he's nipping at his heels or anything even there. But I'll just put him at number two. And then the other two, you can rank them wherever you want.
I think we're in agreement.
That's whatever.
We're in agreement that there's next to no chance that Shador is going to be given an opportunity to start week one, right? Like, I would be all-time stunned if that happened.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people had a lot of things that they wanted to say before the game on Friday night, and they obviously had to walk those back. So I would imagine there's next to no chance,
so
but we'll see how the coming weeks go.
Do we think that Shador has a chance to throw a grenade into all of the best-laid plans?
Why not?
That the Browns have?
Why couldn't he? Because he threw a grenade, and I think a lot of people thought that this was going to go on Friday night. I think a lot of people thought that on Friday this was going to go really poorly, and it went anything but. The composure was there after the first three and out. He had missed a pass to Dylan Sampson that you knew he wanted back. He was able to get back on that. There was a lot, just so many good things that we saw. 216-474-0092. Does this change anything within the competition to you? Does Shador change anything within the competition? For you, where do you have it?
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.